Short Sermon 15. We'll entitle it, This is the Judgment. John chapter 3, verse 18. The one who believes in him is not being judged, but the one who is not believing has already been judged. And that means to be found to be at fault, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As we know from John 16:9, the Holy Spirit convinces the world of sin because they believe not on me. This is the judgment, says verse 19. And this is the title of our sermon. This is the judgment. And that means it's the judgment of the Word of God. The Word of God is the judge. For the Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a kritikos, that's a judge of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The judgment here is the judgment of the Word of God on the thoughts of the heart. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. In John 3:36, the one who believes and who is therefore of what Paul calls the specially category of the saved, in 1 Timothy 4:10, the one who believes in the Son has the life of the coming age. The one who is not obeying the Son, as it's put in the second half of that verse, that is, by believing in him. The obedience here is that of faith, of course, in Romans 1:5 and 16:26. So obedience and faith are put together here. The one not obeying the Son will not see life. Instead, the wrath of God, and what is the wrath of God? It's the love of God. The wrath of God is actually the love of God, which withholds blessedness from an evil heart of unbelief. Again, the wrath of God is the love of God, which withholds blessedness from the evil heart of unbelief, as we see in Hebrews 3:7 to 12. The wrath of God remains on him. If one is disobedient to the Son and therefore unbelieving, one is exempted from having, or we could say, the experience of the life of the coming age. Because this life, which is also the kingdom of God, is experienced precisely in the believing. For the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, says Romans 14:17. And it is in the believing that one has the joy and the peace, Romans 15:13, that are the characteristics of the kingdom of God and of the life of this coming age. God's wrath, which prevents the having, notice it, the having of this life to those who disobey the Son, by not having the obedience of faith in Romans 1:5 and 16:26, is simply the B-side of his love. There used to be an A and a B side of top 40 hits of 45 records. There was an A side and a B side. And that's wrath is simply the B side of God's love, which gives the experience of this life to the believing. The one who does not obey the Son and upon whom the wrath of God remains is not outside of the all of whom God is the Savior. As 1 Timothy 4:10 says, but this one is outside the sphere of the especially those that believe, and therefore outside of the sphere of those who are presently having life. The life of the coming age. Now, though the disobedient, and that's all of us at one time, are the beneficiaries of the saving mercy of God, because he's resolved to have mercy on all and has in Christ, in Romans 11:32, they are not the recipients of the life of the coming age in their state of disobedience. It is God's grace that prevents those who disobey or disbelieve from seeing or experiencing this life. For this life is only enjoyed in fellowship and in participation with the Son of God, by whose faithfulness the believing live. Galatians 2:20. Because we will all come in the unity of the faith to the specifically Christian knowledge of the Son of God, and all there doesn't just mean the church, but all humanity, in Ephesians 4:13, it is certain that everyone will eventually believe in the Son and have or experience this life. But until then, only those that believe have the life of the coming age, which in its present form has already come with the second coming again of Jesus Christ in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. In John 14:17-19. So there's no gaps between the three comings again of his threefold parousia. We may understand the meaning of the declarative statement in John 3:36 if we understand that the one who does not obey, that is, the one not believing in the Son, therefore does not yet have the life of the age, that's the coming age, which has come in the form of the outpouring of the Spirit. Even if someone insists on translating the word judgment in John 3:19 as condemnation, it cannot be understood as damnation, as in destination hell. The wrath, Greek word orge, of God here in John 3:36 is like the wrath of God which he swore, and by which he swore that the disobedient would never enter his rest, as illustrated in the death of almost an entire generation who never entered the promised land of Canaan. Hebrews 3:7-11, which is a repetition of Psalm 95:7b-11. To understand this as an indication of eternal damnation reveals a desperate lack of understanding. Those who were destroyed in the desert because of unbelief after being saved from slavery in Egypt in Jude 1:5 are not slated for eternity in hell. The so-called choice of unbelief is no choice and is therefore a choice that is void. God denies the choice of those who deny his Son. If you deny him, he denies us. If we deny him, he denies us, 2 Timothy 2:12. What does that mean? If we deny him, he denies us this choice, this denial. Such a person who is perishing in their unbelief is still determined by God to believe. For we will all come in the unity of the faith to the Christian knowledge of the Son of God in Ephesians 4:13, and every tongue will confess that Yahweh the Lord is Jesus the Christ to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 2:10-11. This confession or open acknowledgement that Jesus is Lord is impossible to make apart from the Holy Spirit. For nobody truly says, and that is as a true confession, a human act of faith, that Jesus is Lord apart from the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 12:3. No tongue can confess that Jesus is Lord apart from the spirit of faith in 2 Corinthians 4:13. Every tongue that confesses that Jesus Christ is Lord does so in faith and without coercion. Otherwise, such confession would not be to the glory of God the Father. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ would never be glorified by a forced or a faked confession regarding the Son of his love. Every person has been determined to make the one choice in freedom to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. This determination of all humanity is not a determination of coercion, but one of freedom. For freedom means making the one choice, over and against which there is not another valid choice. The one who does not believe in the only begotten Son of God is the one who has yet to make the one choice by which the life of the coming age is had. He or she remains under the wrath of God because God's love on that which is not faith is displeasure rather than pleasure, though by no means is wrath, when it's God's wrath, the absence of love. For God so loved the world that he gave his own and eternally begotten Son. And God was in Christ reconciling the unbelieving world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, including their trespass of unbelief. The one who does not believe is the one who has not yet made the choice against which he has no other valid choice. Here's a principle in a thesis as we begin to close this short sermon. That the judgment of God is on unbelief means precisely that God has invalidated and rendered void the choice of unbelief, which is the choice of the godless man, which God has made void, even as he voided out this man himself on the cross. The one who believes not in the Son, or who does not obey the Son, that is, by believing in him, that's the obedience of faith, as it's understood in the context, is also the one who for the time being hates the light. The light that has come into the world. He chooses darkness, which cannot overcome the light. Imagine that. His choice for now, which will be rendered void, is to choose the darkness, which cannot overcome that light. For the light is commanded by God to shine in darkness and from darkness, which means it will come from that very person who chose darkness. And that will end the tohu wabohu. That means it renders void the void, making nothingness nothing. If you choose darkness, you choose that which will be overcome by light. And in fact, has been overcome by the one who is the light of the world. If you choose unbelief in the truth, the reality of the truth is not challenged or nullified by your unbelief. But your unbelief that you may call my truth, a popular term today, will be nullified by the only truth with a capital T, as your unreality will be overcome by the reality, capital R, that is Jesus. And as your darkness will be overcome by the light, which not only cannot be overcome by darkness, but which shines out from the darkness, as evil is transformed into good by the just and mysterious law of the cross. One day you will say, once I was darkness, but now I am light in the Lord. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to explore your word and to see what exactly is this judgment. And I pray that you will confront every one of us who hears this sermon today with the undeniability of the reality that is Jesus Christ, the light who has come into the world and has overcome the darkness. I ask it in his name. Amen.